What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, April 17th, 2023, and this week's episode, Blessed Bests Allen. We'll talk about this past Saturday's event, Max Holloway taking on Arnold Allen in quite the competitive five-rounder. We'll talk about the latest in MMA news. International Fight Week is set to go with two Mexican title holders. But what does that bode for the future with Mr. John Jones? We'll also talk about some developments in boxing. One of the UFC's most popular stars is going to be taking on the problem child himself this summer. And we'll talk about the latest in the fight game. A lot of moving parts, a lot of events and fights getting moved around. We'll break down all of it and preview this coming Saturday's heavyweight fight between Sergey Pavlovich and Curtis Blaydes. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Hello, Double G. Double G, how are you doing, man?
I'm great. What about you? It's been a long weekend.
I'm pretty good. It has been a long weekend. Sometimes, you know, you wake up and you're like, what day is it? Today was one of those days where I wasn't sure if it was Sunday or Monday, so. But I'm ready to rock and roll, so let's get into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got back Saturday, but PFL.
First, you were in Vegas.
First PFL since season one. So I was joking with people all week. You know, I'm so old that Sean O'Connell was actually still fighting when I last went to PFL. No, but all joking aside, I got to check out the theater at the Virgin Hotel that the UFC is now using more. I got to see how PFL has just really grown over the years. It's really quite something. I really enjoyed my experience. Pacing, I mean, quite bluntly, I don't know if you sat through anything live, but the pacing, at least this past week, was a thing of the past. They were cracking out those fights, and I was like, holy guacamole, we are on a roll. I love it.
That's great.
Yeah, so I highly recommend it. It was a good time. Thank you, Tawny, and everybody else who really just took care of us in the media over the course of the week. And I know they took care of everyone over the last 3 weeks. But we are here to talk about, first of all, UFC Kansas City. The featherweight title, not title fight, but high stakes bout. Max Holloway, Arnold Allen. You know, Natalie, my quickest way to break this one down, if you had told me that Arnold was going to be able to do as many things as he did and still lose the decision, I would have been a little skeptical. Because I just felt like, you know, and we discussed this, the mileage, the mental hurdle after the fight with Volk for Max, that if Arnold gets going, it could be a really tough night out. Everyone respects what Arnold Allen's been able to do. Looked in fantastic shape. And really my biggest takeaway was how often Max was still able to just be so great with his shot selection. I mean, you know he's good, but I think to react to as many weapons as he had coming at him with the just versatile, you know, kicks, punches coming from Arnold and still have the kind of output he did, find his mark as often as he did. And I'd like to point out, it was still a very close fight. I think Max didn't get a knockdown until late in the fight, if I'm not mistaken. Some little talk about, you know, does it count, how much was slippage and all that. I thought that Max did fine. I thought that Arnold kept up with him. I thought he fought a great pace for five rounds. I will say, some of those rounds were close. Some of them, you know, Arnold obviously connected. I believe it was the overhand right that was working for him. But the fact is that was just a very competitive fight. Some people scored it for Arnold. I get it. I don't want to say controversial because I feel like there's some more that have been more razor close. But if you're telling me a few of those outdid the output of Max, I get it. But I'll just say, no controversy. I just thought Max did a little bit more and got the win. No complaints. What about you?
Definitely no complaints. For me, it was a clear 3-2 victory for Max Holloway. I think one judge maybe gave him four rounds. Excuse me, but it was definitely three. I think, what did I think? 1-3-5? I can't remember. In any case, I was relieved to see Max Holloway still looking great. still fighting smooth with flow, using his switch stance switching, really just as a, almost as a feint or, you know, just part of his rhythm to get his shots out, because he wasn't really staying in the southpaw stance so much as just using it to transition and then set up another shot in orthodox. Arnold Allen looked great. I like the way you opened up the segment by saying, you know, anyone else, Arnold Allen's performance, probably he would have won, but he's going away, going against someone who's still at the top of his, at the top of the game. You know, Volkanovski is proved to be levels above Max the last time they fought, but Max Holloway looks to still be levels above the rest of the division, as evidenced by this win over Arnold Allen. So very happy, relieved to see Max looking great. You know, he's not usually a knockout puncher. He's more, you know, volume striker, right? And we saw that jabbing and moving around and doing what he needed to do to get that punch count pretty high. I loved the last round remnants of Lamas Holloway, where last 10 seconds and they just went after it. And it was a good reminder that Max Holloway does have knockdown power and potentially knockout power if, you know, someone's just standing there willing to trade with him, because he did wallop Allen, got some good shots in there, and did knock him down. It didn't look like a slip to me, if that's the one you're referring to, that last 10 seconds of round five. That looked like a clear knockdown to me. If there were 10 more seconds on the clock, that could have been a ground and pound TKO finish for Max Holloway. So I'm very pleased. Blessed is still best. And, but you know, Arnold Allen, keep your head up, right? That was an amazing performance against a still surging Max Holloway. So great night for both. What, Max Holloway is just such a cool dude, man. I saw a little bit of the post-fight press conference, not the whole thing, but he's talking about, I want to fight the Korean Zombie next. If he's up for it, come get it. You know, he just has really awesome energy. He loves to fight and he's there for a good time. Doesn't mean he doesn't want a chance at the belt again, but he's not trying to, you know, get back into that conversation just yet. He's willing to take a few other fights, you know, legacy, legend, just for fun fights, and I like that.
I mean, look at the whole Kamaru Adesanya situation, right? I mean, guys are on a roll, and you think, all right, we're in the fifth round of these fights, and we're just kind of saying, well, that's kind of it. This is their world. We're all just living in it. And then things very quickly change, right? So, there's nothing to say that Max can't still get right in there. I do want to acknowledge this, and I get it. He's like, do you want Yair to win? I would point out that barring some kind of crazy turn of events, let's say Yair just flying knees, catches Volk on the right moment, takes him out quick, or what have you. Five rounder beats him. You're telling me they're not going to run an immediate rematch, Volk and Yair? I just have a hard time seeing that, the pound for pound number one, right? That's what Volk has right now, or people still put him no less than number two after the Islam fight. I have a hard time seeing him not get that rematch.
Of
In
course.
which case, Max Holloway is still gonna have to fight somebody. It's not like, hey, let me wait on the edge of my seat in July.
Of course not.
Now, mind you, look, people could get hurt, things could happen. Suddenly, hey, it's not Volk Yair 2 next. Okay. Then we could have a different conversation, but even then, I feel like the UFC, marketing-wise, they know the one scenario they don't want is a one where the road leads directly into a Max Volk 4. I mean, I know we just did it with Brandon and Davison, but I just don't see that working out well for them. You know what I mean? Anyway, that being said, by process of elimination, I like the fight with Korean Zombie for Max. Someone new, someone different, and more importantly, doesn't take anyone out of the running. Because I think on paper, maybe you would think the winner of Ilia and Josh Emmett. I will say, let's say Volk beats Yair. Once again, the road can't go to Max Volk 4 for a long time. So I think in that way, the UFC would rather give the Ilia Josh Emmett winner the next title shot if Volk wins, rather than potentially burn them against Max Holloway, and then where are we going? You know what I mean? So I think that in that way, Max has beaten Ortega, beaten Yair, obviously. Calvin Kattar now just beats Arnold Allen. I look at that featherweight division and I think, Korean Zombie makes as much sense as anybody for a guy who's already fought these guys and is still trying to stay in there for a title shot in Max. So I just think that's how the pieces all play out. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with you. You're right. Max, and he's smart enough to obviously see that, to look a few steps down the year, I guess, down the path, and realize, a title shot for him is gonna probably happen next year, unless he's willing to be a backup. But just because the unknown, and so it's better to just get out there and keep fighting, keep entertaining, keep doing your thing, and if you can have a hand in matchmaking by putting it out there that you would like the Korean Zombie as your next opponent, that makes sense. So I'm with it. Josh Emmett, Ilia Topuria. I mean, Josh Emmett, I like him a lot, but the way he was so soundly beaten by Yair Rodriguez, I feel like he gets in the back of the line there when we're looking at tallying up all these guys in top five or top 10. So.
Well, I mean, looking at featherweight, it's kind of like bantamweight Amanda Nunes. Volk's gone through so many of these guys now
Yeah,
that it's
true.
like, no offense, but yeah, who else? Somebody in the top
Right.
eight? Yeah, I mean, Josh Emmett, your number's up. Let's go.
That's true.
Yeah,
It's a short line.
in terms of Arnold Allen, I mean, I like him against any of these guys. I think it's fun fights all around, Ortega, Ilia, Josh, Yair. Even if you told me he was gonna get Volk, not saying next, obviously, but I still think it would be a pretty good fight in terms of competitiveness and just television the way he fights. So I like featherweight right now. I think they're in a good little stride, but we have a path and it's going well, so I just like it that way. I mean, quick hits, Edson Barbosa's knee on Billy Q. Didn't expect that to go that fast. That was fun. Obviously, Jan Kutalaba, big win over Tanner Boser, really needed it. The double retirement between Zach Cummings and Ed Herman. Ed Herman, he's kind of like Cowboy and Clay Guida. He's just one of those guys. He's been there for so long that it's kind of like, I think they forget to cancel my contract or something, so I just keep showing up and fighting. So
Yeah.
that was good for him. Good for both of them just to have a good scrap. I think Ed was the one at home, if I'm not mistaken, right? And then
It was Zach Cummings who was
Zach Cummins at home.
yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. And then Brandon Royval, obviously trying to just get himself in that conversation. I thought he did a good job by just good performance, early finish, good call out. Perfectly done. But
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
that was an undercard. What about you?
It was amazing. All those fights were awesome. I mean, you hope to get those kinds of finishes in a pay-per-view when you're shelling out the big bucks. So when you get it on a fight night, it's amazing. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, damn, I want to save it for the other ones. But anyway, I'm not complaining. I'm really not. They were amazing fights, amazing finishes. All the ones you listed, double retirement, Brandon Royval, that was wicked because it was almost like he was just doing high knees, stepping forward, left knee, right knee, bam, and then hit him right with a right straight, I think, as he was still reeling from the blow to the knee. So incredible. Barbosa looked, he said it, I'm in the best shape of my life. And he looked it. I mean, as I was watching the fight, not knowing that he was going to finish that way, I'm like, this dude looks jacked more than usual. Like, we're talking 0% body fat. And he always was one of those super cut dudes. So whatever he's doing, keep going, because he was at the top of the conversation for title shot, and then just kind of had some a bad run. But I think this could be the beginning of a good run. So I'm looking forward to that. One question for you: I don't know if you saw it, Jillian Robertson, and I can't remember the opponent.
Piera?
Yeah, did
Yeah.
you think that was a tap?
When I watched that replay, I didn't think so. I heard, I know they had the whole thing about did she tap earlier and all that. I'm gonna admit that it didn't look good. And I know Piera, she's a SoCal girl. I think though that's such a tough one. I'm not gonna lie, it didn't look good. If you remember like Dan Hardy GSP, That famous clip, it was kind of like that. You know what? I think that the ref might have pulled the trigger a little bit. That being said, I acknowledge that Jillian's the all-time women's leader in submissions, so I also think the ref might know that, going into it, and that might have contributed to, hey, she's got another one, protect the fighter. And I think
Yeah.
that might have been what happened.
Okay.
But it was on the line, I get it.
It was. It looked like a single tap, but it also looked like it could have just been her moving her hand.
Like, yeah, reactionary, yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's a tough one when you're the person who swears they didn't tap, but you got the loss on your record. So it was definitely one of those slow-mo, take it to the VR or VAR or whatever they do in soccer. Like, we needed to see a replay on that one, but too late.
Yeah, it was just one of those tough ones. Like, I'm hearing this with like the Chris Curtis Kelvin Gastelum. He's been vocal this week, and it's like with the headbutt, it's like I'm not saying you don't have an argument, but it's kind of like, I keep comparing it to like basketball. A guy, doesn't get called for a travel as he's going up to fly and dunk it. You're not gonna always get those calls, and I get it in MMA, particularly just the nature of the sport. Maybe that feels a little apples to oranges, but with all of these different parts to it, and you have one referee who doesn't have the benefit of all the angles of television, you gotta realize sometimes that these things might happen. You gotta avoid those positions. Not saying it's perfect, but clearly, every now and then things happen, and that's a tough way to go about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I feel for him. I get it, but it's like I've yet to see like one where it's like, oh yeah, they get every single call right. It's just one of those tough things about it, you know what I mean? But I get it, make sure people know you're not okay with it and just move forward with it.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, like we said, fun night. I'm looking forward to seeing most everybody, in their next ones. Happy retirement to Zach and Ed. Obviously, going out on a nice high. A lot of news. I'm going to start with the MMA stuff. International Fight Week, July 8th, UFC 290, now set with a doubleheader. So we already had Alex and Yair, which we talked about last week. Now, Brandon Moreno, Alexandre Pantoja. I believe the third fight now for the two of them. Pantoja, if you remember, last year he kind of just throttled Alex Perez, threw the gauntlet down for Brandon and Davison. Now he's set. And probably the biggest thing, he's beaten Brandon Moreno twice. Once on the Ultimate Fighter years ago, then they ran it back again in the UFC. He got Brandon by decision. Obviously, Moreno, one of the most popular guys in the UFC, everywhere, broadcaster, analyst, so he's made strides, but this is kind of like a Israel Pereira kind of situation. Does Pantoja just have his number? We're about to find out. Not for nothing, Davison Figueiredo, he announced he's staying at 125, and they're talking about putting together a fight between him and Manel Cape for the undercard. You got to think for Manel, former Ryzen champion, he sets it up. He's right there to be the backup just in case. Huge for him because he has had several fights fall out recently. We'll talk about the guy who is now not going to be competing after. I want your thoughts on just this now setup that we have. Flyweight heavy at 290. What do you think?
Flyweight heavy. I'm sorry. Oh, the double header.
Yeah.
Okay. I look, honestly, I don't care what two weight classes are matched or paired up together, co-main and main, as long as they're good fights. So there's no issue for me on this one. I love seeing Brandon Moreno fight the way he's been just killing it lately, pushing through, overcoming obstacles, with Figueiredo. And so I have no doubt that with Pantoja, he's going to do the same thing. Like, the man will not be deterred. He's going to keep just working, busting his butt to stay champ. So that's going to be a heck of a fight. And otherwise, it's a good addition, I should say, to the card. So no downside there for me. I'm surprised that Figueiredo is not moving up. Very surprised. But I guess maybe I'll get, you know, we've all been there, right? It's almost like gambling. You're like, ah, next time, you know, I can do better. I can cut weight better and be in better position to win. And, you know, just next time, next time, next time. But I think we've seen enough to say that maybe he does need to move up. But okay, you know, you got to trust the guy. He knows his body, so it is what it is.
Yeah, it does make me wonder, did he just I don't know, like what does he feel that is different now for him?
Right.
Like, look, I mean, are you not hitting the weight room anymore, so you'd feel like you're gonna have less, you know, less body weight going into this thing? I don't know. I think that's just the one thing we gotta find out. But yeah, I was a little surprised. Once again, I almost feel like the UFC is playing a little bit of fire with the Mexican champions now. He's admitted it. They dropped the ball. They should have been able to bring it to Mexico. Every press conference, I feel like Dana's getting asked about the Mexico thing, so I think
He
he
really
feels
is.
it. Yeah. Once again, that makes me. He did mention there was other stuff behind the scenes about why Aldana didn't get it over Pena. All right, I'll leave it at that. We may never know. Whatever. All right, these are tough fights for the Mexican champions. If we go from, you know, three champs to one champ by the end of the summer,
I
that would kind of hurt me a little bit, but that is how this goes, right? I mean, Africa has feelings right now too, and
They
I
have
get it.
feelings, yeah, they do. But it would really hurt because we didn't get to capitalize on taking the champs to Mexico. We never took the champs to Africa either, but there's already a history of being in Mexico, so it should have just been, you know, rinse, repeat, right? Like, you know what to do, you know how to get there, let's set it up.
I mean,
I don't
that.
know.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, I think coming off of COVID, there's a lot of favors that need to be paid back in the United States, I think, and in Abu Dhabi, obviously. So that's just taking up, and you know, getting those the wheels the and the wheels spinning again at full speed, the wheels turning again at full speed in the U.S. I think that's been their priority, and so I guess that's why we haven't been to Mexico yet. They're just trying to get us into more cities here in the U.S. But yeah, man, you kind of also want to strike when the iron's hot, and MMA is a tricky game. No one stays champ forever.
I mean, one thing I did some more reading, it was brought to my attention. Remember that all of these things are money, right? And why does the UFC go to big cities? There's more money involved, right? There's more money to be gained going to Madison Square Garden than there is the arena in Arkansas or Nashville, somewhere like that, right? All
Yeah.
right, I get it. That's not rocket science. The Hawaii thing, obviously, with Max and all that, and Dana White said, yeah, we just couldn't get Hawaii done. It kind of came out that the UFC wanted like $6 million to go to Hawaii, and Hawaii only pays NFL like around $1 million for the Pro Bowl back in the day a few years
Yeah.
ago. So they were like, yeah, and UFC is bigger now, but there was just this feeling that like that's just an exorbitant amount. At least that's what I read. If I've not heard Dana White come out and say something different. But my point being with Mexico, and we talked about the PI and all that, and they want to own the land, but that's not how it works. I get it. It's a lot of different things. But you kind of feel like at a certain point, if there's this much momentum, at some point the deal has to get done, right? UFC knows people would really love it there. Mexico knows it would be big business probably if they could have gotten two out of three. You know, if you put this card in Mexico, what is it like for those champs over there? I'm sure it would have been great, but I get it. There's a lot of moving parts. The same thing with like the stadium. No one wants to lose money. If you're going to go big, you want to feel very confident that you are all going to make the money you want. So I get it. That being said, what happened? How have we lost Mexico somehow? That's just the big question.
Yeah, it is.
This does shut the door on John Jones in July. However, John is talking, Dana's talking. They're looking at November, Madison Square Garden. Don't hate it. I'm gonna just leave it at that. Don't hate it. My one thing about it, 4th of July, once upon a time, was the event for UFC, right? And it's like, okay, you know, we're. the biggest card, stack the deepest, and they have for the most part done that. It's always a pretty stacked card, a lot of names, undercard, main card, pay-per-view, usually is pretty good. I feel like the UFC in recent years has really, and I don't know why, but it just feels like they don't get the biggest star for the July pay-per-view anymore. And that's my one thing. If it's going to be the biggest event, let's start trying to chase that history. And I don't know if it's just they don't feel like they need to do that as much anymore. They just haven't. And so when I think about the stars we have out there, Adesanya right now, obviously a Jon Jones, Conor McGregor, right? And it's like they can never, these guys don't fight 4th of July anymore. And I get it. You kind of spread out the schedule. Like, okay, 4th of July, yeah, International Fight Week. But hey, come August, Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. And it's like, all right, I get it. Now you get fans to almost pull the trigger on a twofer, right? Oh, I'm going to buy July, I'm going to buy August. I do feel like sometimes as a fan, you get a little like, no, like, I want the 4th of July. I want to go big. This is the one everyone's here for. And I do think sometimes for the fans, it is a little like, okay, like, I wish they would push more for that big star. I'll just leave it at that. What about you?
Well, I agree with you, and of course we can look back at the recent pay-per-views the last couple of years and see that they are spreading it out more. So each event does have a big fight, a main event, right? And Abu Dhabi, I think, has been a big game changer as far as the whole year is scheduled, because they really want to give them a big show. So they put a lot of eggs in that Abu Dhabi basket. And something's got to give somewhere else, right? You kind of run out of stars at some point. Middle of the year, if you go, you pack the front end, then middle of the year, you're kind of like, well, everybody already fought, and they're waiting a little. They want to wait a little bit longer before they fight again, which is why Jon Jones Miocic would have been awesome. I'm super, super annoyed that that's not happening. I can only blame Jon Jones. I really doubt Stipe Miocic is holding up the show, and supremely annoyed that that's happening. I don't get it. It's like when GSP beat Michael Bisping for the middleweight title, he pretty much promptly retired. And so at least that was able to put that belt back in contention. And I'm worried that Jon Jones is going to hold up the show. And so, okay, they'll create an interim, fine. But no one wants to fight for the interim belt at heavyweight when Jon Jones just won it. Like, that's who they want to fight, and that's who we want to see defend it. So disappointed he's not, that they didn't make that matchup. And yeah, as for, again, back to why July is losing a little bit of steam, I think they're just you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. So they're giving us good fights on the front end, but that does eventually bottom out, and that's where we are, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they did have Adesanya last year. I want to acknowledge that. And I think there was something international in 2020 felt a little different because of COVID. But we did get Fight Island out of it. But once again, that
That's
was
right.
like not a ton of fans for, the wildest event ever, right?
That
So,
wasn't actually an island.
yeah, exactly.
We're never going to forget that UFC.
That's another show. Or like everyone is like, oh yeah, Fight Island. Oh yeah, you could drive to it. You don't drive onto an island. You drive to a beach. But okay, let's. We digress.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, but look, I acknowledge that. But it's just like you're used to these sometimes happening, and I think about 21. What was it? 21 was Volk and Brian. I like Volk, but I think that when you have a Jon Jones and a Conor McGregor out there, I get it. As a fan, you maybe want that fight to happen. So that's just what I keep getting at is I think that's kind of got lost a little bit out there. You know what I mean? Yep. Now, obviously, there was another big breaking news. This guy is fighting in the summer against the problem child, your favorite fighter of all time, Nate Diaz, Jake Paul, August 5th, 185 pounds, 8 rounds, 10-ounce gloves. And then,
Wow.
okay, let's just talk about that. Let's just start there. Jake Paul's boxing Nate Diaz. Thoughts?
Well, surprised. Like initially, when you see the poster, the poster of the post on social media, it's like, oh my God, they booked it. Nate Diaz, Jake Paul. Oh man, Nate Diaz. I don't know how well that's gonna go for him. Like that was pretty much the order of my thoughts. Not because Jake Paul is necessarily a better all around. Well, he's not a better all around fighter. We know that. But younger, faster, stronger, has been focused solely on boxing for the last however many years. And Nate Diaz has been training MMA. And the last fight, he was pretty much, as he said, a wrestling camp. So, not to say he's not a great striker, not a great boxer, but Nate Diaz always gets a lot of credit for his boxing when he's in the MMA, when he's in the octagon, right? Oh, Nate Diaz is sparring with who is he rumored to be starting sparring with? Andre Ward, and I don't know who else.
Yeah.
But I've never seen him like box, even in footage, training footage, box in a way that made me think like, man, he's a skilled, just straight up pugilist, So, not that I'm saying Jake Paul is, but it makes me a little nervous here. I don't want to see Jake Paul beat Nate Diaz, I guess is what I'm getting at. And I'm not sure if Nate Diaz has enough boxing skill to win. But obviously we'll break that down when the time comes. So surprised and nervous, basically, to sum up my reactions.
This is one of those fights I feel like the build-up will be more exciting than the contest. I want to see them get to a press conference. I want to see Nate Diaz just kind of poo-poo all
No,
over,
he's gonna erase him.
Jake.
I mean,
Like,
just
yeah,
yeah.
like, bro, I'm actually hood and I'm a real fighter and I don't bully old people and all that. And I'd like to point out, Nate has given up age and size once again to
Yep.
and Jake Paul is taking the advantage.
That's what Jake Paul does, right? He just strategically picks smaller MMA fighters.
That come on, the Tommy Fury fight, gotta give it to him. Younger guy, his size, bigger muscles,
Right. He
I
lost to a
wouldn't.
boxer, so now he's going back to an MMA fighter. Yeah.
Don't judge him for making good business decisions.
Yeah, you're right. He's
Anyway.
making smart moves. You're right.
Yeah, but my point of this, let's just get to it. I think that the clash of personalities is going to be more fun than the actual clash of skills, and I think that that's just where I'm going to leave it at. Once again, I get it. Like, Nate Diaz is great television. You want to see him do anything. You would see him, sit around a campfire and just talk. I get it. He's got that fan base. I know Jake Paul has that fan base and has earned that respect of the boxing side for the growth that he's made in his game. I get it. That being said, once again, the numbers are what they are. We have what we have. It's going to be on Nate, who's never been an explosive guy, to try to bring down this bigger man. We're talking about 185 pounds. Most people think he's too small at 170. He's
He
normally
is.
155. Anyway, I'm gonna just stop talking there, 'cause then it's where's the fun in that?
Yeah, I know.
Nate,
Well, one question. Do you think
sure.
that this pay-per-view will be Jake Paul's biggest pay-per-view to date?
Ooh, you know what? I actually think so. For the simple fact that Nate is a guy that people still buy the pay-per-view for.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Jake also has a bit of that. I do think the novelty of Jake against the other guys has worn off. And you know what? Oh my gosh, you bring this up. The more I think about it, I actually gotta change my answer. I think no. I think the first
Okay.
Tyron fight was the peak. Because I think
Oh.
that the first time they all had help from Mike Tyson, because everyone loves Tyson. Then the Ben Askren thing felt like novelty, and it kind of felt like, wait, what is this Triller thing? Because Triller 1 was like, okay, the experiment. Triller 2. I'm sorry, but that was also peak influencer boxing. Like, they had all the, you remember the musical acts and all
Oh,
that.
yeah,
Everything
totally.
was built for the Gen Z generation, to put it to say the least. Now, when Tyron Woodley came in and all that, now it's like, okay, well, now it's like you get this feeling for Jake Paul. But then after that, Tyron 2, Tommy Anderson, not quite there. And so now, looking at this, I think that the window maybe passed for Nate and Jake to really take off? Because I think that if you're thinking about your money, you're thinking about, once again, the age and the size, and you're like, yeah, this isn't worth $80, $60, whatever they're going to charge. If you
Okay.
didn't know everything about Jake's boxing, which kind of his own fault now that, the element of surprise is gone, then I would have said, yeah, you probably could have, it would have broke the record. Now that people know how good Jake is, I think they don't fall for it anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. So they know he's good enough to probably beat Nate Diaz, and they don't need to see that.
Yeah, there's not as much mystery. Oh, well, Jake probably is like, no, you know how good a boxer he is by now. Don't be fooled. If you're tuning in, you're tuning in because you want to watch Jake no matter what. You want to watch Nate no matter what. And I don't think that leads to gangbusters in terms of selling pay-per-views.
Okay, excellent point. I hadn't thought about it like that.
And not for nothing, where are they having this? It's not on ESPN. It's is it Showtime? No, DAZN. DAZN
The
pay-per-view. So, full credit to Jake on the business side. His last pay-per-view was ESPN. Before that, I believe was Showtime. Before that, he was doing Triller. So, Mr. Non-Exclusive really showing them how it's done. And I think for the
Yeah.
fighters, like if you're Francis Ngannou, you don't have to be locked into six fights in one place. Look at it. The proof is in the pudding. Go for it.
That's
So.
right. Good point.
That's one thing I want to bring up, but I get it. These companies, they're like, no. We're not gonna let you rob the bank and run. You want to fight our guy? Sure, four fight deal, minimum. Et cetera, et cetera. I get it, but I digress. Anyway, some quick hits coming up. Oh, I forgot. Nate Diaz says he's gonna. He says essentially, let me go out here, get paid, go back to the UFC and get my belt. What are your thoughts when you hear Nate talk like this?
I mean, it's fun. It's a fun, click article to read, clickbait article to read. But the reason I sigh or scoff, however you would view that sound, is because I don't think he has what it takes to win a belt in the UFC right now in either division. And so that's why I react the way I do. But if he's just like, I'm not even excited about him returning to the UFC if he's serious, because I just don't see it being that fun for anyone. Who would he fight? I don't know. Am I being too dim here? Help me out.
No, the tough thing about Nate that people forget, he's become more inconsistent over the years getting back to the cage. He had a great, like, he had his comeback in 2015. I think before that, he was out 2 years. Then he does the Conor thing, becomes a star. After the Conor thing, he took, what, almost another 2 years off. Then he's been, like, a once-a-year fighter, more or less. And it's like, mind you, not all of those have gone his way. Masvidal, Leon Edwards takes another 2 years after that, and it's like, guys, what are we doing? So I get it. Like, Nate doesn't need to fight anymore to make the money. He has the money now. I think he does it more or less for himself, and if it's what he wants to do in terms of stay active, in terms of, hey, this is actually a good fight, good paycheck, something I like. Okay, but in terms of let me get in the race and beat these guys, get my title shot. That's over. I think a lot of fighters don't want to admit that, but that's over. I think that they're just like, hey, it's got to be. Everything's about title shots and title eliminators when you have a big name. I think there's a little bit of that with Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier going on. It's like, hey, respectfully. If I'm not on a skid, I'm not trying to go back and take on these young killers like Sarukian and, Mateusz Gamrot. It's like, I've put my time in, I've become a star, I've had the big fights, won some, lost some. The time for me getting in the fighting the lower register, the top 10, that's done. I have a name now that everything's about leveraging. How many times can I get to a 1-2 fights title shot. And I think that that's where Nate is at. I think he sees it as like, all right, well, take this big fight, get paid for it. But in terms of the race, I think about 55, I think about 70. 55, forget about it. How many guys do they have right now all in the race? 170. Colby, Bilal, Shavkat, Gilbert Burns,
He already lost to Leon.
Kamaru Usman. Yep, say no more. That's, you're essentially saying this guy who's on a losing streak. So I get it. 185, I'm not even going to act like that's actually a thing. Don't act like that. Don't talk to me about, Adesanya versus Diaz. Honestly, oh my gosh, I just, it kind of reminds me, I hate to say it, I'm not gonna name him, but work with someone, and he very much was like, can you imagine Conor McGregor being the welterweight champion? And I'm like, son, please wake up now. And and they're like, oh well, what if the guy gets scared of that? And it's like, yeah, the crowd isn't gonna change the fact that you got 30 pounds on the guy. Like, let's calm down. Let's wake up from the dream. And like, I'll be honest, I don't know that Nate Diaz actually gets to 185. Honestly, I don't know that he,
On a vegan diet,
like, what's he gonna do? Get in there with a beer belly?
a lot of beans
Yeah,
you
like
gotta eat.
I just don't see him getting up that big for that fight.
That's a good point. I forgot until right now about his food, his diet, and like, how do you bulk up that fast without even being a carnivore, without eating meat? I don't know. Lots of protein shakes. You go to the gym and try to put on mass that way, but it takes longer than he's giving himself time for. So
Yeah,
we'll see,
so.
man. He's probably gonna look notably slimmer than Jake Paul. Yeah, beer belly maybe. I mean, not beer belly, but a gut. Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, my point is that Nate, back to the UFC. If you do that, you're essentially saying you're doing it for some money, 'cause you I'm sure a bare knuckle would offer him money. I'm sure Bellator would say, hey, this is our budget, what do you think? But I think that Nate is just there for like, he's like, you know what? I know where it's at. I know where I get the most attention, and it's at UFC. And that's fine, Other guys don't get the Nate Diaz treatment, so that's why we have other companies, and they do great and make good money for themselves. But Nate knows that, like, hey, I'm in it to work with the biggest brands, and this is where we're at right now. And I respect that. Anyway, the quick hits, and there's just a lot of hits. It's like a 10-punch combination. Let's start from the top. Renato Moicano is out of next week's main event against Armin Sarukian. It's an Apex card, April 29th. If you look at that undercard, I'm gonna just put it simply, not the deepest. And that now creates a situation. What are we gonna do? Do you find someone for Sarukian? Do you try to put together, kind of like if you remember Michelle Waterson, Angela Hill, like, are we just going to do like a 5-day notice main event with someone else? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they should, because looking at it, you're right. It's I don't know most of these people, and or I've only seen them fight once or twice, or I'm not really that interested. So I think that they should look around who's in Vegas, who's ready to fight. There's lots of fighters that live there that go to the PI, throw a little cash, a little extra bonus their way for doing us a solid, but I think they should scramble to get a new main event for sure.
I mean, yeah, I look at it, it's like, are you gonna try to throw money like out of Fazeev to take it 2 weeks' notice, someone like that? RDA, I'm not
RDA,
sure,
yeah.
yeah, but even RDA, he said he's more looking at 170 now.
They gotta think big. I mean, not just what is this, 155, 145? Well, 155 for the main event. Like,
Cash weighed it.
I wouldn't even try to do necessarily Sarukian. I would just try to find two people in the same weight class that are big enough names anywhere.
That's fair, that's fair. The next one, and this is gonna kind of work with my other question, Charles Oliveira is out of the fight with Beneil Dariush. They've all said it's officially postponed. So the talk right now is they're going to do it on the June pay-per-view. Beniel talked to the schmo. He says that, he said, "All right, I'm okay moving it, but if Charles Oliveira pulls out again, I've been told I'll get the next shot at Islam Makhachev straight up." This leads to a few questions. For one, part of me is like, okay, well, now the May pay-per-view, no offense, but that was kind of like the, if Cejudo and Sterling is the pastrami in the sandwich, then I'm sorry, but the Charles and Beniel was the bread, making sure, hey, it's not just that, we're keeping this together, you know what I mean?
Right,
Now we've lost the bread. Now I'm like, well, all right, you got two lightweights just lost their opponent. Stylistically, I mean, is it so wrong, Sarukian and Beniel? But it sounds like Beniel is kind of like, yeah, I'm in this to fight a big name like a Charles, someone who's ahead of me. So it looks like that's gonna stay together as opposed to pairing them up, which I wouldn't have minded stylistically. But now I'm gonna bring this up to you. All right, June, if you're Dustin Poirier, do you still wait until June before making your next move? Or, look, Justin Gaethje's out there. A lot of fans want that fight. It sounds like that's in the ether, so to speak. Or sorry, just in the cloud as a possibility. But if Beniel loses to Charles, there's a good chance the UFC just goes straight up Dustin Poirier, Islam Makhachev on the name value. Beniel said as much that UFC told him, "Beniel, you're not the number one contender. It's Dustin Poirier. But if you beat Charles, you take that spot. If you lose, that is technically Dustin's spot, and it's kind of more secured." So I'm going to leave that at you now. What should Dustin Poirier do? Do you think that, hasn't fought since November, should he still wait before he signs a fight?
Oh boy, that's a tough question because what's his, who did he just, who, what was his last fight? No, I can't remember.
Chandler.
Okay, and that was
Chandler,
November.
Banger, and MSG.
Yep. Okay, that was November. Oh, it's been a while. What if you think he would be willing to fight Beneil Dariush in June
You
if
know
Charles
what?
still can't fight?
So I think that Beniel at this point, he's like, you know what? How often do. Like, look at Joanne Wood. Oh, I'm gonna
Oh
stay
yeah.
active when I have a title shot.
I know.
You
That's
know what?
ridiculous.
I think that kind of, or Sean O'Malley, if you know it's in the bag, how often do you try to risk it? You know what I mean? And I think that Beniel, respectful, or yeah, I think that Beniel, if he knows that Charles is pulling out, he's now in a position where UFC will say, "Hey, we'll go with this fight." It's hard for me to tell you that that's what should happen. And I think even, I think Beniel is trying to help out the card because we talked about this. Charles and Beniel, the same thing that they're doing in May, they're doing for June. They are really helping out that undercard by joining Peña Nunes 3. So I think that UFC acknowledges, hey, this is a big fight. You could have said, hey, let me do something else and whatever. Instead, now we have a perfect opportunity to help another pay-per-view out. I think UFC is aware of that, and I think that that's why they're not just saying, hey, it's Dustin Poirier. That being said, looking at this whole situation, I think Beniel likes the style matchup, the grappling, his grappling in his game against Charles' grappling, the way they match up on the feet. I think Beniel just likes this fight. Dustin Poirier, to be quite blunt, is a very different fight than Charles. That's what Beniel's had his eye on. So I think that Beniel is just saying, you know what? I know I could take a fight with a Dustin or a Justin. I'm sticking to my guns. I'm going Charles Oliveira. And if I don't fight for a year, but I get a title shot at the end of it, then that's a risk I'm willing to take. Especially after, he's been kind of shunted out a little bit. He beat Gamrot, and then the UFC went with Islam and Volk. He's just like, you know what? I've waited a long time. I had to deal with the business. This is now the reward. I'm not gonna give it up just to stay active, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then if you're Dustin Poirier, you've waited this long already. If you have a, I always say this. Obviously, you want the title fight. Why? Because you could become a champion. If you're gonna lose, do you want to lose against the number one guy or the number two guy? What makes you look worse? So if you're Dustin Poirier, at this point, you wait till June. I'll say it. I think he's got that money in the bank. His credit is good. I think that's why he's been sitting out anyway. And I think that's smart. If you know you're not going to get back in the race, by all means, just wait for it. You've already fought the other guys. You got the tiebreaker. You beat Justin Gaethje before. There you go.
Yeah, man, I cannot disagree with you.
All that means, I think, I'll just say this right now. I think two events have the potential to be screwed. Obviously, the May pay-per-view loses a lot of heat. Obviously, next week's main event, I don't know what we're gonna get, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, this is a tricky spring, right? But bottom line, I guess, for me on Beniel is, yeah, I think he should probably stick to his guns, and like this is the moment where if he does pull a Joanne Wood, it could go terribly wrong for him. So I guess patience, waiting for Charles a little bit, but then sitting down on your haunches and saying, now I need a title shot if this doesn't pan out, because I'm not going to risk losing to somebody else just to make a fight, just to have a banger. So, eesh. But yeah, tricky times.
I mean, spring out of action, right?
Yeah.
Alex Pereira, he confirms it. He's going to 205 next. What do you want to see for him?
Ooh. Well, first of all, I'm surprised, because I guess I didn't I've only heard about him moving to 205 from, as a Dana White suggestion, so I didn't know it was something he had actually been considering or putting out there. And I'm aware that he's very big for the 185 weight class, but I didn't know it was a real consideration to move up. So I'm a little bit surprised, but okay. Who's at one? I'm sorry, 205. It would be a good first out for the former champ, Ciryl Gane, maybe, if
At
that's not already.
205?
Yeah.
Light heavyweight, not heavyweight.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Light
It's like, wait a
heavyweight.
minute.
I'm like, wait a minute. That seems way. I'm like, sorry,
That's a
wrong.
jump.
It's a big jump. You want 205? We're putting you at heavyweight. Anthony Smith, does he have anything matched up? That would be an
Johnny
interesting.
Walker. Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker,
Yeah.
okay. Blachowicz.
I li That's who I was thinking. I really like Blachowicz. I think they would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think just
Okay.
Blachowicz kind of needs that good matchup stylistically. I think that Pereira, if you're going to be all that in a bag of chips, I think that Blachowicz maybe right now not a top three guy, but still it's like, all right, that's a fight. You're getting him at a good time possibly.
Yeah.
I like that fight for Pereira.
Okay.
I don't know when. I think that obviously you need some time off after the Adesanya loss, but yeah. If I could make it tomorrow, I would go Pereira Blachowicz. But that could change just with the timing.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. And then finally, Ilia Topuria, Josh Emmett's moved back a week from June 17th to June 24. And we get the news on this one, that one in Jacksonville, Florida. Not too much big, other than the fact that I like that fight in front of a crowd. Two reasons. One, I think that Ilia's probably one of the top prospects we have in the whole sport. I think that he's a guy who's just got a lot of upside. I believe, yeah, he is coming off the victory over Bryce Mitchell. But most importantly, that kind of lines up your featherweight division through the year. I mean, if you run it back with Yair and them, all right, cool. If Volk wins, you're talking about December, January, February, whenever, fighting a guy like Ilia or Josh. And then, let's just say it, you've pretty much cleaned out featherweight. Beaten Zombie, beaten Max, beaten Brian, will have beaten Yair. It's kind of tough for me to say that Volk needs anything else at featherweight. So I think that that just kind of sets everything up beautifully. What about you?
It does. It does. And yeah, who's once, Volk fights Rodriguez, that would sort of be it, right? Already burned through everybody else. Why stick around?
Well,
What do
what I
you
mean is
think?
it builds up the Ilia Josh winner. Like, I think putting them in front of a crowd instead of, let's say, possibly Apex makes it feel like, okay, this is a big fight. This is someone worth Volkanovski's attention if he beats Yair. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you're saying. So I think it's got to be more pushing Ilya, right, for a potential Volk
Yeah.
or Rodriguez matchup, just because, man, Josh Emmett got soundly beaten by Yair Rodriguez, like soundly.
He
So,
could always turn it back
of
around.
course, he's a
He's a
tough dude.
vet, yeah.
Yeah. Not necessarily knocking him, down a peg or two, but it's hard to forget that is pretty recent. So, but look, if Josh Emmett does win, I mean that's very interesting. So, okay.
Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, I just like it. I think it builds up that featherweight title picture. I think you're letting people know that Ilia or Josh is the guy after Yair, so we'll go from there. Real quick, Bellator Hawaii. I like the main events in terms of like, all right, we're spreading it out, we're getting a good variety. I'm still, to be quite blunt, I'm still shocked that they didn't go Liz Carmouche versus Alima McFarlane, because if I'm not mistaken, this is Alima's last fight on her contract, so it's like, you've been talking about wanting to retire. You've held pretty firm on that. You've had a great run. You talked about this whole Liz and me dream fight, dream
Right.
finale. I kind of got the feeling that, like, hey, Bellator has ride or died with you through all these Hawaii events, built you up, that it kind of felt like, all right, you have a scenario. You could do Liz and Alima. Let's do Liz and Alima. And now I get it. You don't want the potential, your champion rides off into the sunset, and then you're left without a flyweight champion. But if I'm being blunt about it, I felt like it was worth it. Anyway, Alima has a big fight, Liz has a big fight, and obviously, Rafion Stotts, Patchy Mix, winner gets $1 million, bragging rights, fights the winner of Patricio and Sergio Pettis. Overall, a good weekend in Hawaii. What about you?
It is a good weekend, but yeah, it's hard not to forget about this missed opportunity. Because unlike other fighters that are training partners and good friends, these two actually want to fight each other. What's his name? Davishvili and
Aljo.
Aljo, thank you. I mean, even like who else? Silva and Machida, wasn't there a thing and they didn't want
Yep.
to fight each other? Like
All the
these.
American kickboxing welterweights, Josh Koscheck, John Fitch, all of them. Yep.
Yeah, man, like we got one, Maybe it's just like a woman thing, it's just different. But
Girls are
we got
okay
one.
beating each other
They're okay
up.
beating each other up, It's like, yeah, whatever, let's go. Okay. And so like if this really is this like officially her last fight, she's retiring in Hawaii? Or
I
it's just
mean,
the last fight of her
I
contract?
think we're gonna find out.
Okay.
I'll say this. I could see them. So here's where it becomes a little tricky, right? Because I could see them saying, "Hey, Alima, do you want one more? We'll do it against Liz." But then I'm gonna just say bluntly, now you missed out on the opportunity. Alima could have fought for the title in Hawaii, retired in Hawaii, win or lose.
Yep.
Now it's like, what? Are you gonna come back to Hawaii in 4 or 5 months? No.
It's not the
So,
same. It's not worth it almost.
yeah.
It's, yeah. Okay. Well, let's see what she does. If she retires in Hawaii, it's going to be epic, just the way it was for Masvidal in Miami, win or lose. But you got to believe for two training partners that are friends who wanted to fight each other, you got to believe that if they had matched them up for a belt in Hawaii, it would have been a barn burner. I mean, they wouldn't have quit. They would have just given it to each other. So we're missing out not only on a great fight, but a great moment for Alima should she have won. And now it is what it is. Still interesting, but not thrilling like it could have been.
I mean, I think I get it from Bellator's standpoint. You don't want her to just ride off with the belt and you're left without a champion.
Yep.
You still get to have Alima, good fight. You can maybe talk her into a few more, but if not, she still gets one more Hawaii appearance, right?
Yeah. But isn't it worth it for the moment? Like sometimes you just got to think about the value of the moment over the overall
Oh, I agree.
landscape.
I agree. Sometimes it's more about the people than the business,
Yeah.
and that's what gets the people to come back when you do more business. But
Exactly.
I get it. If I were a business owner, I hate to say it, but if I ran Bellator, I probably wouldn't make the fight just because I feel like Alima, we love you, but we just can't be stuck without a champion. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah,
Fair.
still gonna be a good night. Let's cap it off, the heavyweights this Saturday. Sergey Pavlovich, Curtis Blaydes. If you're sleeping on Pavlovich, you are somehow forgetting the fact that this guy in 1 year knocked out both Derek Lewis and Tai Tuivasa. I feel like that says just about everything you need to know about what kind of tank this dude is. Now, he is fighting one of the most complete fighters at heavyweight. You know, Curtis Blaydes made strides in his striking, but let's just be real. The thing that makes him that next level threat against a lot of these guys is his wrestling. He's still a very good wrestler, particularly for the weight class. There's not a lot of guys who just have that level of grappling, more or less because they don't need it. A heavyweight just kind of falls on top of you. You're most of the time stuck. Curtis
Yeah.
Blaydes' ability to get the fight to the mat, mix up his weapons, heavy hitter himself, very experienced at this stage of the game. A lot of problems. Once again, Pavlovich, plenty of dangerous weapons on his own side. He's gonna have to solve the riddle of the wrestling. It's been done before with plenty of guys, but once again, you have to actually get there. You have a lot to deal with for 25 minutes. Makes for a very interesting fight. Not for nothing, winner of this one. If Stipe wasn't around, you could say that this should be our next title challenger. I know it's not going to happen. Jon Jones is going to hold out for Stipe or bust, but this is the number one heavyweight title challenger, if you ask me. What about you?
Okay, yeah, I mean it makes sense. Heavyweight is, it's not as exciting as it used to be, even though Jon Jones is back and is in the division back in the UFC because he's kind of just ignoring us. But so yeah, it could be a winner of this gets a title shot or step closer. But as far as the fight goes, yes, Curtis Blaydes, the wrestling, that's his big gift in the cage, right? That's what he uses against his opponents. But Pavlovich has pretty good takedown defense. I was listening to Mr. James Lynch, big fan, and was watching his prediction. So I'm a little bit I'm gonna repeat a little bit what he said because it was very insightful. Pavlovich just has really good takedown defense. So that could mean, thinking out loud here, that could mean Blaydes and Pavlovich end up just kind of staying on their feet a little bit. In which case, who's more likely to knock out whom? I'm going to give that one to Pavlovich. I mean, just has, look, Curtis Blaydes does knock people out. He's got hands too, right? Let's not pretend. But I think Pavlovich is just a little bit younger, a little bit stronger, faster. I think it's going to be his night. I'm going to go round two knockout for Pavlovich.
Oof, just get it done,
Just
right?
get it done. Just get it done.
Man, this is a tough one. You always feel like you gotta lean on all that experience and weapons for Curtis, right? I think that's why he's been where he's at in heavyweight for so long. I feel you. It just kind of feels like it's Pavlovich's moment, right? The way he's been fighting. I mean, how could it not be? I agree with you, though. I feel like. Look, if Curtis Blaydes goes out there, smothers him, he did what Curtis Blaydes does. Maybe I'm also falling victim to the moment, but I just really like Pavlovich, the way he's performing. I'm gonna go with you, second round KO for Mr.
Oh,
Pavlovich.
we are in sync.
Let's
Hey,
go.
I like
Anyway,
it.
it is about midday Monday, so we do not have an update on next week's main event yet. I'll leave it at this. All right, crystal ball time, okay?
Okay.
What weight class, and when I say if it's a catch weight, I mean what is their normal weight class? What weight class do you think next week's main event fighters usually participate in?
Well, What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Like, so for example, if it's not Tsarukyan, they don't find someone short notice for Tsarukyan,
Yeah.
what weight class are they going to pluck next week's main event
Oh,
from?
gotcha. A little bit bigger, probably welterweight or middleweight. That would be my guess.
I'm looking at it. I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I feel like they are going to pull some middleweights too.
Okay.
I don't know who. Like, I don't think you're getting Dracus or guys like
I don't
that,
know who
but.
lives in Vegas, but I don't know how much that actually matters, you know.
Oh, yeah, private jet. You'll be home
Yeah,
soon.
exactly.
Yeah, it's
What about
like.
Sean Strickland? You think he's gonna be up for it?
All right, Sean Strickland with who, though? Real fast. Wait,
Calvin
hold.
Gastelum. No, not Calvin Gastelum. He's still recovering, probably. Derek Brunson. No.
I mean, that wouldn't be the worst.
Chris
Sean
Curtis.
Strickland. If we hadn't already seen Sean Strickland, Jared Cannonier, I'm gonna say. Sean Strickland, Paulo Costa.
Okay. Oh my God.
At catchweight, like.
Well,
Catch weight 195 or 205.
whatever weight you are, Paulo Costa, we'll
Yeah.
take you.
Sean Strickland, Paolo. Let's go.
Okay. Let's go. We're putting it out there, universe.
Calling it. We'll
Okay.
find out next week's show. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week.